So prudence, you know, it takes counsel, it makes judgments, but ultimately it commands, because our activity is only perfected in its performance. You can think about your life all day long, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're living your life.
Yeah.
All right. Because here we're talking about practical matters.
Yeah.
And the real kind of proof of practical matters is that they're undertaken, and that they're undertaken as well as you know how.
Does doctrine really matter? The Apostle Paul once wrote to a young pastor named Titus, instructing him to hold firm to the trustworthy word he was taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine. Welcome to Credo Podcast, where doctrine matters and theological ideas have consequences. Here's your host, Dr. Matthew Barrett, executive editor of Credo Magazine.
Hi, friends. I'm Matthew Barrett, founder of Credo, host of the Credo Podcast. And if you've been watching and listening, then you know of my own love for Thomas Aquinas. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great as a Thomist if I could reach out and sit down with some of the Thomists I've learned so much from and have benefited from over the years. And here we are. And I have really a privilege to have Father Gregory Pyne joining me. If you don't know him, well, you need to pick up this book, Prudence, Choose Confidently, Live Boldly with OSV. It's a small book, but don't be deceived, because it actually is quite thick in a lot of the wisdom it shares. And I should also mention that you're a Dominican friar, and we're here in D.C., and so you do so much. Those watching, they can go online, social media, and they'll probably find you everywhere, right? Because you do so much with the Thomistic Institute.
Yeah.
Putting out a number of different videos. But it's good to see you putting out books now as well. Not that you haven't before, but this one in particular, I really plan on recommending to people. Now, in our last video, our last conversation, we focused a lot on what is virtue?
Mm-hmm.
How does that differ from vice? But let's go a little bit deeper and talk about prudence. Prudence, it gets a bad name sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not the best way to put it. Maybe some people think of it, but they almost think, yeah, okay, I know what that is.
Right. Right?
They think of like a businessman who's just shrewd in his dealings and quite clever, but that is not really the whole of what prudence is about, is it?
No. Prudence is the virtue which shapes our agency.
Hmm.
And I think, you know, for a Christian especially, sometimes we get in the habit of trying to optimize or maximize. We think about ourselves as like pulling the levers of reality, trying to produce the best results. When truth be told, our primary kind of preoccupation isn't so much with producing results as it is with becoming the type of people who are worthy of good results, and specifically who are worthy of God. And so prudence is the virtue which shapes our agency so that we can be generous, you know, so like that in our activity, we're not so much cold and calculating as we are kind of forthcoming with our efforts. And St. Thomas will say of it that it's just right reason in things to be done.
Yeah.
All right. So it's what puts right reason into our activities, because as we know, we're set apart from the beasts by that ability to reason well or to reason rightly. And so it's just characteristic of an individual who's willing to take the time and put in the effort to sort out how best to pursue this or that course of action in service of those for whom we have care and ultimately God Most High.
Hmm. Hi, friends. Matthew Barrett here. I'm interrupting our conversation to tell you about something quite personal to me right here in Kansas City. Did you know that I lead a school of theology called Anselm House? Anselm Fellows come together in my own home for evening prayer around a common rule of life, the Book of Common Prayer. And then we also have a meal together around a common table that cultivates virtue and the good life. And finally, we sit down for Socratic dialogue, because Anselm Fellows are reading through the great tradition. Of course, we're doing all this to contemplate the beauty of our Lord. It's named after Anselm, the Archbishop of Canterbury, who so modeled faith-seeking understanding. Did you also know that many of our Anselm Fellows also receive so much of their degree through Trinity Anglican Seminary. In fact, you can receive up to 50% off and 50% of your entire degree through Trinity Anglican Seminary. It really is unprecedented. But best of all, did you also know that Anselm Fellows, they're not just coming and meeting in my home, they're also participating in the liturgy of the church here at St. Aidan's Anglican Church. In other words, their education is fully integrated with the sacramental theology and life of the church. It really is wonderful. I can tell you this from experience. It's one of a kind. Why don't you come to Kansas City? Join us. Become an Anselm Fellow. Go to theanselmhouse.com, theanselmhouse.com. There you will find an application. Send it in. We'd love to consider it. And we'd love to see you here in Kansas City as an Anselm Fellow. Now, when we talk about right reason being applied and what we actually do, so, I mean, this is very practical. When we speak that way, the immediate question that's going to come up is, well, how exactly, people are going to wonder, how exactly then do I act in a way that is prudent?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot we could say here, because you could think of those three categories,
mm-hmm,
of counsel, judgment, and command.
Yep.
What are these about? Speak to those and maybe lean in on command a bit.
Yeah. So St. Thomas says that when we make a decision, all right, let's say that we have some end in mind. Let's say that I want to get a doctorate. In making the decision, I'll think like, well, what am I competent to get a doctorate in? I studied math as an undergraduate. And by the time I got to real analysis, I was toast. Like it was very evident to me that I had no real competence in mathematics, that I was in fact just fit for Calc 3 and nothing more. You know, so I wasn't going to pursue a doctorate in mathematics. So then I consulted with my initial formation and I saw that I had a sufficient number of credits in sacred theology to pursue further studies in sacred theology. So I said, okay, seems like sacred theology is the way to go about it. But you can see how this initial stage of counsel might take, it might take on kind of further consideration still, because I have to determine where I want to go. And so I might think, all right, within sacred theology, what am I more interested in? Christology or moral theology or eschatology? And on the basis of those interests, who might be the people with whom I could study, and what types of financial considerations might be provided? Because, you know, left to pay for myself, obviously I'm going to be studying at the state university if it doesn't exist. So I have to find a place where I can get a scholarship, and I'm doing this in conversation with other people who have gone before me. And so counsel can involve a lot in the sense that you're sussing out the various means which you might deploy in service of your proffered end. But eventually, you know, you got to choose. And in my case, that choice was done for me by my superiors. But, you know, like it was part of an ongoing conversation in which I gave indication as to my preferences, you know. So, but when you choose, you espouse or you wed yourself to a particular means. But it remains as yet to see those means through. Because as we know, various obstacles or hindrances might arise along the way. For anyone who's written a doctorate, you know that you've never been so desirous of a deep clean, you know, as when it's time to turn in your next chapter. It's like, wow, look at those baseboards. Those baseboards are dirty. No one's going to clean them for me. I best ought to clean them. Oh, I didn't get any writing done today. Fascinating. Right? So like that last dimension of command really requires us to apply ourselves to the chosen means, lest we are derailed kind of in our pursuit. So prudence, you know, it takes counsel, it makes judgments, but ultimately it commands, because our activity is only perfected in its performance. You can think about your life all day long, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're living your life.
Yeah.
All right. Because here we're talking about practical matters.
Yeah.
And the real kind of proof of practical matters is that they're undertaken, and that they're undertaken as well as you know how. Right. So there's St. Thomas will say that it's characteristic of prudence that it commands. It's just the virtue that commands. And that doesn't mean to say that we should command hastily or without sufficient judgment. But it does mean that we should kind of get into our lives and make our choices and abide by them, even if they're imperfect, or even if they might seem to us kind of humble by comparison to otherwise grandiose designs.
Mm. Now, that being the case, I mean, we could press a little bit further and talk about the parts of prudence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas Aquinas lists 8 of them.
Yep.
What are some of these? And one of them, I'm just going to get ahead of ourselves here, because one of them is memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's maybe surprising for some. They wouldn't have expected, or perhaps if they're listing the 8 parts, memory may not have been something they put in there. Why does Thomas put memory in there as one of the eight parts of prudence?
Yeah, yeah. So St. Thomas says there are like 5 parts that pertain to the thinking dimension of prudence, and then there are 3 parts that pertain to the more doing dimension of prudence. So the reason that we think about prudence as characteristic of the shrewd businessman who avoids significant outlays of money in what might be risky ventures is because of a couple of those parts. So when it comes to the doing piece, those 3 parts are what he calls providence, caution, and circumspection. Providence is the main part because it's really what sees to our arrangement of the means, or kind of like our procurement of the means. But then caution and circumspection, they specifically concern how our prudent reasoning can go off the rails in that stage of execution. And they try to provide for, certain security, you know, and they try to be somewhat adaptable or adjustable should changes make it necessary to adjust or adapt. But then when it comes to the thought piece, St. Thomas lists 5. So docility, memory, understanding, shrewdness, and reasoning. And we don't have to go into all of them, but the basic idea with like docility and memory is, are you able to learn from the past?
Yeah.
Like, are you able to learn from those older and wiser, those with more experience, specifically like those who have been through it? And then with memory is, are you able to learn from your own life?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of us are tempted just to do the same thing and expect different results. And we might do that because of fatigue, like we just can't marshal the energy to try it in a different way. Or we might do that because, it's like a kind of evasion technique. It's like the last time when for whatever reason, I'm using examples taken from the consumption of alcohol. But like the last time that you drank inordinately, you regretted it the next morning. But here you are in the midst of a somewhat stressful social situation. And the only way that you know how to alleviate the tension is by imbibing, you know? So it's like, are you able to make the connection between your past experience and your present experience and then abide by that connection? Because it requires some real gumption to do so.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give you the last word.
Okay.
What you are a theologian, and as you're thinking about prudence, how does prudence affect you the most? That could be personally, but how does it affect you the most as a theologian? Or perhaps I should say, maybe this would be more consistent with Thomas Aquinas to put it this way. How does it affect the theologian you want to be moving forward?
Yeah, so I teach moral theology, and moral theology often descends into contingent material circumstances. Like, moral theology is only so helpful until it's applied to life, because the purpose of moral theology is the transformation of our moral activity. Now, the closer that you get to the peculiarity or particularity of your own human experience, the more that you're going to have to contend with inordinate passion, the more that you're going to have to contend with self-deception, the more that you're going to have to contend with even hints of malice. You know, it's like, if I want to be a good person, I need to be not only curious about what I'm experiencing, but honest with what I find, right, and then consistent in applying those findings to my praxis. So like in the classroom, for instance, a lot of like people ask questions. I love questions, but a lot of people ask questions as it were in the form of a challenge to a professor.
Yeah.
All right. So the question is, okay, am I a proud booger?
Yeah.
Because if so, I'm going to have to heal and grow beyond being a proud booger. I'm going to have to cultivate humility. So to kind of keep that inordinate self-esteem in check and to be cognizant of from whence my gift comes or whence my gift comes. And then I'm going to have to make a lot of snap judgments in the midst of class and try to determine why this person is asking this question and why this person is framing this question in the manner that he or she is, so that I can get to the kind of pith. Yeah. I can get to the heart of the matter without focusing too much on the kind of dialectic.
Yeah. Jesus was master of.
He was master of. Yep. And so they're just like, in every relationship, it was said of St. Dominic that you only knew that he had corrected you well after the fact, because he was so genteel, because he was so tender. And I think that there, like, you might have the right answer, but people might hate you for it because you might bring it to bear like the way one lowers a boom. Yeah. So I think that I think about it specifically as a teacher, because my principal praxis is instruction, that I need to be able to communicate saving truth in a way that's accommodated to my students' recognition and reception. Because otherwise it's not, otherwise it's just silly. It's just me, a clashing gong, you know? And so, for me, like, I think about praxis at least as it concerns the praxis of sacred doctrine in those terms. But I think, like, when you scale out as life project, I think that part of what comes with a cultivation of prudence is a kind of reconciliation to your own limits. Prudence is a virtue that operates within bounds. It doesn't so much resent the fact that it's situated as do what it can with what it has given its situatedness. So I think sometimes we think like, oh man, I want to join the best religious order. I want to marry the best woman. It's like, is that, that doesn't strike me as an especially human framing of the decision. Because, like, I don't know if you interviewed all 3.5 billion available women at the time of your espousal, you know, but it was like, if you were like to say to your, you know, eventual wife, like, listen, hold on one second, I think you're the one, but I need to conduct a few interviews. She'd be like, I'm mad.
I'm sticking around.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I didn't join the Dominican order because I thought that it was the best. I may have said that. And like, I still probably do say that in the way that I think the United States is the best country in the world, but it's not a comparative statement. It's like a patriotic statement, you know? And so I think, like, prudence is the type of thing that helps us to choose within limits and to experience our freedom in that setting.
Now you can fill up on theology each day by visiting credomag.com. There you will find the latest issues of Credo Magazine with articles on key doctrines of the faith and regular video interviews with Dr. Matthew Barrett, where he answers some of the toughest theological questions of our day. Be sure to subscribe to Credo Podcast to join the conversation, a conversation where doctrine matters.